You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio Podcast. Ross, I know it's been too long. Listeners, I know it's been too long. It's been many months. Looking through the different summer months, Ross and I have talked on many occasions about trying to get this back and rolling. And here we are, less than 48 hours away from kickoff. Heck, less than 24 hours away from kickoff, Ross. And joining me, obviously, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are things? And you got married.
I did. I got married. It's been great. I'm homeless, which is even better. My computer broke, which is even better than that. We do apologize for the lack of shows, but when I tell you that this was unavoidable, I mean that sincerely. And we'll get right back onto a once a week or twice a week setup like you guys are used to now that football season is underway, and I can see basketball season at least around the corner. So Bison Report Radio will be back in full force.
Certainly will be, and again, it's been a few months since we had this thing going. We have some things to talk about news-wise, Ross. And yeah. I guess the big, go ahead.
Yeah, it won't be any. It basically won't be anything that nobody knows yet. So, but yeah, if you've been living under a rock and you downloaded this podcast and you want to know what's going on, we'll take care of you.
So the first thing I suppose we should mention is there's a new wide receiver coach. Jason Ray is in, and a former wide receiver coach is now with the New England Patriots. What was your take on this, and what is your take now as we're less than 24 hours from kickoff?
Well, kind of cool. I'm going to tell you right now that this would be the first
time.
Not
every day that somebody gets to go to the New England Patriots.
Right. I mean, this is definitely the first time a North Dakota State coach has been poached by the Patriots. Obviously everybody's sad that Atif's gone. He did a fantastic job recruiting the state of Florida. Certainly could have been, I guess, questions asked about the productivity of his receivers group, but his number one impact on the program, without question, would be his ability to get studs from Florida. And the list is plenty long. I mean, Trey Dempsey, Christian Watson, Bruce Anderson, these guys that have come in and really impacted NDSU at the skill positions have been a huge addition to the program and something I'm not sure they win these titles without. So Atif was a big, big part of things.
And so Jason Ray, he's been here a few months. He is the new wide receivers coach. What have you seen from Jason, and what do you think fans can expect to see from his position here going forward?
I think where he ends up recruiting will be the big question. It's interesting. Where he ends up recruiting will be the big question, I guess. And at the same time, the receivers group is relatively young, and he's got some serious talent to work with. Zach Mathis is a big-bodied wide receiver they're excited about. Phoenix Sproles and Kenneth Chanel are the smaller guys. And then, he'll get 1 year of Shep, but 4 years of Christian Watson, who's he's a kid that's about as exciting as they've had at that position. So I don't know where his recruiting territory will be. That'll be something that we'll find out, certainly. But as far as wide receivers, hopefully he has a chance to kind of elevate that position. And it is marginalized a bit just by how NDSU runs their offense. But it'd be fun to have a big target to throw to somebody that'll make a lot of plays like Heckendorf and Vrah in the past.
So before we talk about some of the August news items here that have popped up, I do want to touch on something basketball-wise. Ross, I want to let you know we got our guy. It wasn't the first time around. It was the second time around. Sam Griesel, after signing with North Dakota, ends up signing with the Bison following a coaching change. How happy do you think that Bison basketball staff is right now?
I know they're ecstatic. Sam was a high-level target for them. somebody that they definitely, definitely wanted. And I know he went with Coach Smith in the University of South Dakota right away. But, you know, Coach Smith is a gunner, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's trying to make it as high up into the high majors as he can up and until, you know, his career is over. And I'm not convinced that that's the exact same, you know, goal that Richmond has, but that's what happens sometimes. You get a guy making every promise under the sun to recruits, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's not there. And North Dakota State was definitely blessed by that. And they're one of their number one recruiting targets, leaves literally a conference rival and ends up at North Dakota State. So that was a big, big flip.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Bison football here in August. And I think the biggest storyline here going into tomorrow's game is, hey, NDSU is pretty healthy. I mean, compared to some other FCS teams, some other teams around the Midwest who've dealt with some injuries, as far as I know, Ross, this team is pretty healthy going into Cal Poly.
Yeah, they suffered some big injuries last year during camp, and frankly, a few more big injuries during the first game against, you know, in a game they scored like 70 points. Lost Radins for the season, lost Purifoy for the season after already having lost Menard for the season. So, yeah, definitely, I think, a blessing, knock on wood, but just getting to the point that they have currently gotten to without significant issues is awesome.
And then I think the other rumor or the other news item we need to touch on is, Ross, I know that you've always been a big follower of this, as have I. Maybe it's because we're, I guess, in the younger side of things compared to most football fans. But there's been a rumor going around about some new uniforms, Ross, for NDSU. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I can confirm that that's happening. Some images leaked out of the gold ones and the green ones on the NDSU bookstore account, but I've kind of known this has been going on for a while. Was asked to keep it under my lid, so I did. But I kind of guessed that when they were selling some of the old uniforms at the spring game, and it just was time for a change. That 1997 Denver Broncos stripe scheme was a little outdated. It's been something that they've been rocking for a while, so it's going to be cool to see them in some clean uniforms. I don't have a great picture, and frankly, the bookstore's pictures were poor. They were of kind of Nike's cheaper replica, very much not indicative of what the final product's going to look like. And I have absolutely no fear that they are going to be inadequate or worrisome. So should be exciting. Should be able to kind of check it out. I'm trying to sneak in. Not sneak in. I mean, I'm credentialed part of the media. I can walk right in. But I'm going to try and get in there a little early tomorrow. And if it's a specialist warming up, if it's Easton trying to get a couple balls up, whatever. But I'm going to try and snag a picture as soon as possible of the new getups so that the good people that follow Bison Report on Twitter can get a peek.
Speaking of Easton Stick, I suppose we should probably preview this season, this 2018 upcoming season for your NDSU football squad, starting with that quarterback spot and Easton Stick. And I know that, again, you can check out all these different pieces that Ross and I worked on here. Our summer scout series is live on the Bison Report. It's free to read. You can go through, look at what the Bison have on roster, look at the recruiting, what do they have committed, different things like that. So let's start with Easton Stick, Ross. What are expectations for Easton? Now, I feel very old because I think that we came to the conclusion this week that we're going into year four of the Bison Report. And again, I remember Easton Stick when he was just this young little green thing. And now here we are, and I've seen things this offseason. Now, Ross, you are much more in tune with the NFL draft than I am, but I've seen Easton Stick mentioned with some of the top quarterbacks in this upcoming 2019 draft. So what are expectations like for Easton Stick going into his senior year?
Sky high. I mean, they are – gal, they're as high as it gets. You hate to put the pressure on him, but he is a legitimate NFL prospect. He just is. I mean, that's the deal. I think he's a top 100 pick. He has every tool that you would possibly need. He's mobile, has arm strength, but more importantly, is accurate, is not prone to turnovers. And the expectations for him with the amount of weapons he has at running back, the amount of weapons he has at tight end, and the skill of the offensive line is sky high. Craig Haley picked him to be good grief, the name of it is escaping me, but the Heisman for the FCS. I'll figure it out at some point. I've just never worried about it because NDSU's been about the team, and they've had a Buck Buchanan Award winner on defense, but honestly, nobody has even come close to winning the offensive award, or I guess it's the overall award, but it always goes to an offensive player. I don't see I don't know if I see that's the Walter Payton Award, by the way. It's the Walter Payton Award. I don't see that necessarily happening. But if I'm saying he's going to the NFL and Craig is saying that he is going to win the Walter Payton, I don't think expectations get higher.
That's quite a lofty expectation. But again, I think what Easton's put on film the last 2 years certainly warrants that. And so the question is going to be, Ross, and again, I know what the depth chart says in terms of who is QB2, but if something happens to Easton Stick, which one of the young quarterbacks do you think is the one that's likely going to be inserted there?
I think if it's a long-term situation, you're probably looking at James Hendricks. I think if they really needed to win six games, they would just put Jimmy in there and run the heck out of the ball. But I could be wrong on that. I know that Kleiman has basically said that Holden Hotchkiss is the backup, and I think he'll be the one that gets the junk time snaps and the one that for right now they're going to move forward with as a presumptive starter for 2019. You and I probably both believe that it's going to be Trey Lance, but he's going to redshirt this season. I would almost guarantee that. So, yeah, for now it's Holden, but my gut reaction tells me that if something awful were really to happen, it would be James Hendricks.
So when you kind of transition to the running back position here, and again, I know that you're extremely high on this running back room, arguably one of the best in terms of talent that NDSU has had in quite some years. But, I mean, we talk about the sky-high expectations for Easton Stick. Well, we got to talk about our guy, Bruce Anderson, and then your guy, Lance, will make him dance. I mean, what are the expectations for these two? Because they're going to be certainly getting a lot of carries this fall.
Again, sky high. They both guys supposedly healthy. They have an excellent offensive line in front of them. They have what I would call maybe limited talent outside at the wide receiver position and a basic scheme and strategy from NDSU for 25 years to just run the football. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to run the football. They're going to throw the ball to the running backs. And until, you know, opposing defenses can come up with defensive linemen and linebackers that can match up with them, which I can't, I would just expect the world out of the entire running back group.
All right. And so, again, we know what we have behind them, Seth Wilson among them, but it's, you know, Seth Wilson, Ty Brooks. I can't imagine they're going to get a ton of looks. Unless NDSU is really kind of moving things and that game is three scores, four scores, five scores in between. But you look at that fullback position, again, another spot where it's so vital in this NDSU offense. What are your thoughts on what NDSU has there for this 2018 season?
I mean, they're really deep across every position, especially on the offensive side of the football. A wide receiver, you know, RJ's gone. That's a big deal. Kleiman really made it sound like at this point they feel that Darius is going to be kind of their top guy, but they really feel more than anything that they have three, and that'd be Desmond Kane, Dallas Freeman, and Darius Shepherd. Now, Christian Watson's expectations are high, but he's been a little bit nicked up. I'm not even sure he's going to be ready to go tomorrow. So as far as they're concerned, I think they have their two outside guys in Kane and Freeman, and they have their Shep at slot, and those are the three that they feel really, really comfortable with, and they'll try and kind of move forward from there.
Again, no more RJ Erzendowski, and so you're looking for some other guys that are going to potentially step up, and you mentioned the young guys such as Christian Watson. Another name that I know has generated buzz around Fargo is Phoenix Sproul, someone down here from the Twin Cities, a guy that had every Missouri Valley offer you can. And it sounds like he's been doing well here in fall camp. So what are your expectations for a guy like Phoenix Sproles looking at tomorrow's game?
Well, he's been listed as a guy that is potentially on the two deep. So if he is going to be someone that's going to be the number one punt returner, I think you have to look at that and assume that he's not going to redshirt this season. And like I mentioned before, Kenneth Chanel is a guy that plays the same position as Phoenix, which would be that smaller slot receiver. And they came in the same recruiting class. So in my opinion, if you feel like pulling the redshirt on Phoenix Sproles, you're allowed to do that because you have another kid at the position that can redshirt and move into a different class.
And then when you look at the tight end position, again, we detailed this in Summer Scout, but NDSU is going to be missing a couple of key bodies, a couple of guys that have played a lot of snaps for NDSU. They've now graduated. And so where does that leave NDSU, Ross? Again, there's going to be some inexperience at the position. Who are some of the names you're expecting to get a lot of snaps this fall?
I think it's crazy. And I say this about the tight end group and, frankly, the offensive line group. My expectations are raised, and they're raised because they're raised because of the quality of the young kids that we haven't seen yet. Josh Babich gets more buzz than any offensive player that isn't Christian Watson. Noah Gindorf is a guy you think has an NFL future and is somebody that should have been a Minnesota Gopher if that was handled correctly. Ben Ellison turned down multiple Big Ten offers to be here. And, you know, Nate Jensen's a good player and somebody who's going to be a senior. So, yeah, Jeff Elias was a good player. Connor Wentz is maybe still in an NFL camp, but was a good player. They are not they're more of like the hybrid types. You're 6'2", 6'3", tight end fullback. Jeff was a tight end slash wide receiver. These kids are not. These are giant Gronk tight ends. They are not necessarily going to be Rob Gronkowski, but these are big Jeremiah Wurzbacher style tight ends that can really change the course of a football game. And so even though, yes, they have lost some really impressive athletes at the position, I still really, really do believe that they are in a better spot than they were a season ago.
And when you look at the offensive line, again, some graduation obviously happens. Kuhnert, Messner are now gone. You're still left in a pretty good shape with guys like Colin Connor, Zach Johnson, Tanner Volson. So when you look at this group up front, it's been so key in kind of establishing that power running game that NDSU loves to run. So what do you think about this 2018 group compared to what folks just saw last season?
More athletic, less experience. You lose a Bryce Messner. You lose a guy like Kuhnert who had played so many snaps for you, but they really, really did get more athletic as the year went on. And I think this year you're going to see Colin Connor move into guard where he's a little bit better suited. He's going to have great feet for a guard. If you have good enough feet to play left tackle, you're going to move inside to guard. He's got the girth. He's got the frame to play guard. You look at him, he looks like a guard. But if you have the feet to play left tackle, you're going to be a fantastic, fantastic guard. Folsom, the center, has been there for a while. Dylan Radens might be the most talented tackle prospect they've ever brought in. And then you've got Luke Bacon at right guard. He was kind of their sixth man last year. So getting him a place where he can play on a consistent basis is important. And little Zach at right tackle, little Zach's like 6'8", 320. Little Zach is I think, a guy that they really like and somebody I think that can push that right side power, that right side outside G, and really manhandle defensive ends. They really like Cordell Volson as a swing tackle. He'll be a guy that rotates in. And they like Kubis and Schoeneg, the three small-town, farm-boy-style offensive linemen. They're deep, they're young, they're athletic, and even though a lot of experience is gone, there's some pretty excellent athleticism and talent coming down the pike.
What are expectations like for Dylan Radens this season? I mean, we saw what he was able to do, and I believe six quarters of work before, unfortunately, going down with that ACL tear. But, again, when he was out there last year, he was making some folks look silly, just whether it was at the line of scrimmage or him pushing up into the second level. The athleticism, the size is there. Now coming off an ACL tear, what are your expectations like for a young man named Dylan Radens?
I mean, I think they're still pretty high because it's 2018, and ACL repairs are so far advanced beyond what they used to be. And I still see the same talent that I've always seen and have heard of, whether it's Coach Riley, Coach Kleiman, it doesn't matter. Coach Mess, these guys just rave about Raidens, and I've called them the left tackle Adonis before, and I mean that. I mean, he looks like what you would, you know, chisel a left tackle out of stone, and that's what he would look like. He is the exact type of athlete you're looking for in that spot, and I'm really excited to see a full year of Dylan, and hopefully he stays healthy and then can kind of progress the season after this and the season after that into the NFL prospect I think he can be, and frankly into the All-Valley and All-American prospect I think he can be.
Let's transition to that defensive side of the ball, and I know that you laid out the argument on the Bison Report in your summer scout on the defensive line, but I know that you're trying to draw comparisons between that 2013 D-line and this 2018 D-line. Lay out your argument here for the listener.
Well, it's, you know, 2013 is such a difficult team to compare to because they are so excellent and went undefeated, beat Kansas State, all those kind of things. But I think, you know, they're deeper. They're maybe not as talented on at the top, but they are deeper. And that's because of all of those high-end prospects that they brought in that have now redshirted and are ready to go, your Sunts, your Wages, your McCormicks. But at the same time, Cole Karch doesn't start. Derek Tuska might not even start. And if he doesn't start, then Caleb Butler's not going to start. Stanley Jones might not start. They're just so deep behind the starters with guys that either have talent or experience or both, that they're going to be able to come at you in waves. And I think you're really going to see that against Pauley, even though it's going to be 80 to 85% run defense, just how deep and talented this defensive line is. And that we haven't talked about the starters yet. If you're, Caleb's going to start at strong side end and Greg Menard's on the weak side, they're fantastic. And then Steidel and Williams as run stuffers, this is going to be a really, really tough first down team to try and run the football on. I think it's going to lead to a lot of second and longs and third and longs.
I just asked you, about expectations for a guy coming off an ACL tear, and now let's talk about another one of Greg Menard, someone who has had one of the most prolific careers in terms of getting home to the quarterback that we've seen, and now he's going to be coming off an ACL tear. What are your expectations for him? And then, again, Derek Tuska is someone that rose up last year, 11 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks. So you look at both of those guys, what are your expectations for both heading into tomorrow's game and then throughout the rest of the 2018 season?
Well, you temper expectations, I think, with anybody coming off an ACL, especially somebody.
In that same breath, we just talked about how your expectations are high for a guy like Raidens. I mean, I think that Menard has probably proven more than he has. So
certainly, but
why temper?
Okay, so what I guess the reason I temper for Greg is because of the position that he plays, and maybe that's not fair. But offensive linemen wear knee braces anyway. Greg's body contorts in a way when he rushes the passer that is just absolutely wild. The dude runs at a full sprint at a 45-degree angle. He's that flexible. So just from a flexibility standpoint and the torque that he puts on that knee when he's bending the corner, that concerns me more than it would concern me Raidens, you know, getting into a pass set or trying to run block. That's, I guess, why I say that. Because Menard's play is so predicated on his explosiveness, I would just chill right away. Now, if he proves me wrong tomorrow, proves me wrong when they play more of a passing team, great. I'd be happy for that. I really would. But Greg Menard is not going to, you know, slam into a left tackle, jack him up, and bull rush him or try and beat him with an inside move. Greg's move, and it is fantastic, is to beat him around the corner. And that just puts a tremendous amount of torque on the knee. So that's why, I guess, with Greg specifically, I am maybe just tempering expectations a little bit.
And so when you look at this defensive tackle group, again, I know from reading your pieces, from talking to you, that you're pretty confident guys like Aaron Steidel, Blake Williams, Cole Karch. But why are you so confident in this kind of core group of interior defensive linemen for the Bison?
Well, because they're kind of, they're kind of deep in just things that I've heard from the staff, not necessarily on snaps already given to the program. I think if you really needed some run defense snaps that Alo and even Beagler could give those to you. If you need extra pass rush snaps, you can get them from Karch. You can kick Wagey inside. You can kick Butler inside. There are just so many options. I mean, we know what Aaron Steidel and Blake Williams are, especially on early downs. And that's why I'm really confident, because I think your run defense depth is fine, and I think your pass rush depth is better than fine.
While wide receiver is likely the position on offense with the least amount of experience per se, I think linebacker on defense definitely falls into that boat as well, because you look at the three guys that are now gone, Nick DeLucas with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Chris Board just led the NFL in tackles during the preseason with the Baltimore Ravens, and Matt Plank in his double-digit career starts are gone as well. So you look at what NDSU has coming back, it's going to be the Jabril Cox show, but how, again, there's just so, just the expectations for that young man since he's been able to find the field have been extraordinary. Now he is going to be likely expected to be the guy with, again, what he's proven so far. So what is your expectations for a role for Jabril Cox, and how much is asking too much of a guy like Cox here in 2018?
He won't come off the field. He's the man now. I mean, that's what you get when you are a redshirt freshman and one injury puts you in the lineup and you become the defense's best player and you lead the team in tackles. And you should have been named the MOP of the national championship game. That's how becoming the man happens. And Jabril is the man. And he's not going to come off the field in nickel. I don't see that as an option, really. I think he'll give the team whatever it ends up being, 700 snaps on D, 800 snaps on defense, and I would anticipate an All-American season from Jabril. I think he is that level of player. I think he's certainly that level of athlete. I'm really excited to see Jabril Cox with a full offseason of knowing that he's going to lead the defense and that he is going to play every snap, because – man, he's going to be something super, super special, and NDSU fans get three more years of it.
When you look at the other two linebacker spots for NDSU, your projected starters are Dan Marlette, Levi Jordanheim. What are you expecting from both of them, and what do you think fans should look for on Saturday in terms of their play?
Well, it's scary after those guys. They moved Jackson Brown to linebacker. He was a special teams ace. He was a strong safety, really fast, really violent kid. He's backing up both outside linebackers, so you can kind of see like what they felt about their outside linebacker depth, that it wasn't fantastic. I think they feel pretty good about Jackson Hankey backing up Marlette. Marlette is a guy that Kleiman felt like was playing at an all-conference level before he blew out his knee. You have to move a lot of side-to-side playing linebacker, so I guess there's maybe a little bit of concern with Marlette's knee as well, but All signs have pointed, and frankly with Greg as well, all signs have pointed to these guys being completely healthy. Marlette, though, like I said, all-conference level player. Jabril, all-American level player. Levi's just a get-it-done type of guy. I mean, they had him rush the passer when he was a young kid, came in injury situations, then was a preferred starter. He struggled with injury a little bit in his career, and I think, like I said, there is some concern there because they don't feel great about depth at outside linebacker, but he's just a guy that I think is going to give you anything you could ever ask from that position, especially when you have two rock-solid studs next to him in Cox and Marlette.
Now, I know you're also on record here on the Bison Report in terms of you're not expecting a big drop in play, even though you are losing the Chris Boards and the Nick DeLucas of the world and replacing them with some guys that obviously aren't as experienced. So why are you expecting, you know, not a significant drop in play?
Well, because Jabril Cox is so good, and because Dan Marlette is an all-conference level guy, and if you have an all-conference mic and Jabril is playing at an All-American level, you're really not going to see a noticeable drop from a season ago. I love Nick and Chris, and they did a fantastic job for North Dakota State while they were here, and I wish them all the best in the pros. But that doesn't mean that there has to be some drop-off in play when these talented young kids behind them just have another year of strength training with Kramer and another year of learning the playbook, getting in sync with Coach Entz's system. I don't see the drop out of the linebacker group unless there's an injury. And like I said, I have real, real concerns about the team's depth at linebacker, specifically outside.
All right, finally, in the secondary, you obviously have Jalen Allison. He's your bona fide number one corner. And then Robbie Grimsley finally, hopefully, getting the respect that he's due. We've been preaching about this for, it feels like years on this podcast, about giving Robbie Grimsley his due. But Jalen Allison, now your bona fide number one corner. And then which safety spot do you think Robbie Grimsley eventually ends up at as we approach conference play?
It seems like they're not going to move him. I would have played Robbie at free. I would have given him that responsibility that was given to Trey and Dudzik before him. But he's a three-year starter. It's at strong. So why mess with it? I like, you know, Jalen Wimbush as a free safety prospect. I like Hendricks more as a strong safety type of guy in your kind of Colton Hegel type of mold, but that's fine. He can play free. NDSU's safety positions are somewhat interchangeable, especially if they're going to play cover two. I think that this is as deep as they've ever been in the defensive backfield, specifically at the cornerback spot. But why mess with what's working? And Robbie Grimsley at strong safety is very obviously working.
All right, some other guys I want to ask for your opinion about, guys like Jalen Wimbush, guys like Marquise Bridges. Again, I know Bridges played very well in the championship game, but you look at what are these roles going to be incoming for guys like James Hendricks, Jalen Wimbush, Marquise Bridges. How do you see it all shaking out, and do you think any of these guys are potentially going to take some lumps here as we kind of get into October and November?
Well, I think the way I see it going now is that Wimbush has been moved out of the outside cornerback group. That's my opinion. I think your outside corners are Allison, and they are Josh Hayes, and they are Marquise Bridges, and that is a great group. The inside corners, and maybe Dom Davis is a part of that group as well. I don't know. That poor kid has been moved to more spots in the secondary than I can even count. But I think what you'll have, and Kleiman indicated this at the press conference, was Hendricks or Wimbush will be in base, and then the other one will come in nickel. And I would say that Robbie and James will play off the ball or back in nickel, and Jalen would come up and play that nickel back spot, the inside corner. So your outside guys are going to be probably whoever wins between Josh Hayes and Marquise, and then obviously Jalen will either play left corner or shadow or play field or whatever they're going to do with their number one. That has not always been a consistent thing. Whatever they are going to do in that spot is kind of going to be up to Klanderman and Kleiman, of course. But, man, they are just so talented and deep at the defensive back spot.
Now, I know from talking to you in the pre-production meeting and just listening to your thoughts on essentially every position group and how expectations are raised, my next question is going to be about your season prediction. Now, I think every year we've been doing this, I ask you this exact same question, and you predict at least one loss, but you look at the season and how it unfolds for NDSU, three home games against Cal Poly, North Alabama, and Delaware, and then you get the Dakota Marker game right off the bat in terms of in conference play against South Dakota State. How do you kind of see this season unfolding for the Bison, and are you going on record in August in predicting a potential national championship?
Well, I think I have every year, and I've only been wrong once since we started since we started doing this. I mean, I've always it is difficult to put that level of expectation on a football team, but at the same time, nobody cares what I think. I mean, nobody within NDSU's program is giving a second thought to, you know, what guys like me say. I've always thought 14-1 were going to be the records of every team, and of course, you know, the year they lost to James Madison, that was certainly not the record. And I think, in fact, that Carson Senior, they might have lost twice as well. But this is not a 14-1 group, and this is not a 14-1 schedule. I really, truly do believe they win the national championship. I don't think they lose a non-conference game, and I don't foresee a conference loss, which would tell you, in a much shorter way of saying it, that this is going to be, in my opinion, a 15-0 undefeated season. The old joke is I don't see a loss on the schedule, but I actually seriously don't. I've never picked NDSU to go undefeated before, but I just look up and down at their roster and I look at their challengers and I don't see one. So, I think that they will ultimately go to Frisco undefeated, more than likely play against James Madison. And I would say here on August 31st that they'll win that game as well. So that would be my season prediction, would be the first undefeated NDSU season since 13.
Bold takes, hot takes flaming out of this podcast, as always. So when we kind of look at this Cal Poly game, before we kind of get into the X's and O's, I do want to ask you about the new redshirt rule. As someone who also covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers, being able to see Minnesota up 30-plus points last night, put out a bunch of true freshmen onto the field to have them gain some experience. What are you expecting in terms of NDSU being able to use this redshirt rule? Do you think that, again, they're going to use all four games for most of the freshmen? Do you think that they're going to use them consecutively? And then who do you think ends up not redshirting? Maybe it is a guy like Phoenix Pearls if he is going to be used as the primary returner there. But how do you foresee North Dakota State using this new NCAA redshirt rule?
Well, I thought it was hysterical in the opening press conference. He basically said they have no plan, which I don't believe, but I mean, that's what he said. So
I'm with you. I not a chance in hell I believe that.
Right. So, but I mean, he did. That's what he said. He said they don't have a plan. They said they're just kind of going to roll with it. I guess he would never admit that they expect to be up by 50, but they absolutely do at some point in these first four games. They do expect, and I would guess will be up by a bazillion. So they have a plan, but they're not telling it to me. They're not telling it to anybody else. So it will be interesting to watch how they utilize the snaps available to these young kids that would not necessarily lose a redshirt year.
So when you look at this Cal Poly team from last year, you look at what Vegas says about this game. NDSU, last I checked, is a 32.5-point favorite, and this Cal Poly team is a 1-10 team off last season. So I would have to imagine your level of concern for NDSU kind of working through some things in game one isn't overly high considering the level of competition.
No, I would expect that they would be better than they were last year. I don't think they're a 1-10 football team. I think that was injury related. They're really young as well. But I don't see a lot of competitiveness in this game, and I don't frankly see the need to go super deep into it.
Offensively, I believe it's a triple option team, something
That's right.
A little bit
yep.
different than what they're going to see in the Missouri Valley. But again, it's always something different. And then again, I don't know that I've asked for your thoughts on this in at least a few months, but what are your thoughts on the Big Sky Conference as a whole as well?
They're just, I mean, they are what they are. They always have been. They're a conference that doesn't have a ton of success during the playoffs, and they're a conference that doesn't play a ton of defense. And I kind of feel the same way with Pauley. They're going to have that gimmicky triple option offense. They might do a little bit more than some teams would against NDSU because of that, but I think defensively they're really, really going to struggle in this game.
So you look at tomorrow's game, a 2:30 kickoff at home against Cal Poly. I mentioned it, a 32.5-point favorite, so I would imagine that you're predicting somewhere around 42-10, or what is your official Bison Report game prediction?
38-7. I think that something goofy happens on an option play. They get a touchdown. They hold on to the ball enough to keep NDSU out of the 40s and 50s, and 38-7 is my game prediction.
All right, so before we get out of here today, I am excited to announce that the Visor Report is going to have an intern for at least the foreseeable future. Rosty, would you like to introduce our brand-new intern?
Well, I'm going to have him introduce himself. Ben, go ahead.
All right. My name is Ben Grundhauser. I'm a senior here at North Dakota State, majoring in journalism. I got this opportunity after I applied for an internship within NDSU Athletics. They told me to check in on Ross. They're looking for someone at Bison Report. It's been a great start. Met Ross and had a conversation with Ryan about kind of ins and outs of Bison Report. I'll be posting articles and post-game articles and just kind of helping out, being able to go down on the field, being up in the press box. So, and then, of course, here my first time seeing how a podcast works. It's really cool. So, yeah, just looking to learn more about the business because this is definitely what I want to do in the future. And I'm really looking forward to the year. So, yeah.
All right, we're excited to have you.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting season from Ross, for myself, and intern Ben there. So it's going to be a place where, again, if you haven't already, head on over to the Bison Report. Check out our Summer Scout Series. Get yourself acclimated with this football team before kickoff tomorrow. And then if you haven't already, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting app that you found us on. So for Ross, for myself, for new intern Ben, we thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week to break down the Bison's first victory of the season. Go Bison.